The Poetry of Gerard Manley Hopkins, An Introduction. Gerard Manley Hopkins was born in Stratford, then part of Essex, on the 28th of July 1844, to deeply religious parents, the first of nine children. The family moved to Hampstead in 1852, near to where John Keats had lived 30 years before. At age 10, the young Gerard was sent to school in nearby Highgate and afterwards to Balliol College, Oxford. Hopkins was unusually shy and reserved and prone to bizarre ideas. He once argued that most people drank more liquids than they really needed and bet that he could go without drinking for a week. He persisted until his tongue was black and he collapsed. In January 1866, Hopkins composed his most ascetic poem, The Habit of Perfection. But a few days later, he included poetry in the list of things to be given up for Lent. In July, he decided to become a Catholic, and by May 1868, Hopkins firmly resolved to be religious. Less than a week later, he made a bonfire of his poems and ceased to write for almost 7 years. In 1874, Hopkins returned to the Society of Jesus at Manresa House, Roehampton, to teach classics, and later studied in the Jesuit House of Theological Studies in North Wales, where he was asked to write a poem to commemorate the floundering of a German ship in a storm. So in 1875, he was moved to take up poetry once more and write a lengthy poem, The Wreck of the Deutschland, inspired by the Deutschland maritime disaster, in which 157 people died, including five nuns. The poem was accepted but not printed by a Jesuit publication. This rejection fed his ambivalence about his poetry. In fact, most of his poetry remained unpublished until after his death. Hopkins chose the austere and restrictive life of a Jesuit and was at times gloomy. The brilliant student who had left Oxford with a first-class honours degree failed his final theology exam, and although ordained in 1877, Hopkins would not progress in the order. That same year he wrote God's Grandeur and sonnets including The Starlight Night and finished The Windover. In 1884 he became Professor of Greek and Latin at University College Dublin. His English roots, his disagreement with current Irish politics, as well as his own small stature of 5'2", his shy nature and personal foibles meant that he was not an effective teacher. This and his isolation in Ireland deepened his gloom. The final years of his life continued to find him in a depressed state and to restrict his poetic inspiration. His extremely heavy workload, coupled with the dislike of living in Dublin, away from England and friends, meant his health further deteriorated. Even his eyesight began to fail. As a devout Jesuit, he found himself in an artistic dilemma. To subdue any egotism which would violate the humility required by his religious position, he decided never to publish his poems. After suffering several bouts of diarrhoea, Gerard Manley Hopkins died of typhoid fever on the 8th of June, 1889, at the early age of 44. On his deathbed, his last words were, "I am so happy. I am so happy. I loved my life."
Binsey Poplars by Gerard Manley Hopkins. My aspens, dear, whose airy cages quelled or quenched in leaves the leaping sun, all felled, are all felled. Of a fresh and following folded rank, not spared, not one, that dandled or sandaled, shadow that swam or sank, or meadow and river, and wind wandering, weed winding bank. Oh, if we but knew what we do when we delve or hew, hack and rack the growing green. Since country is so tender to touch, her being so slender, that like this sleek and seeing ball, but a prick will make no eye at all, where we, even where we mean to mend her, we end her, when we hew or delve. Aftercomers cannot guess the beauty bean. 10 or 12, only 10 or 12, strokes of havoc unselve the sweet especial scene. Rural scene, a rural scene, sweet especial rural scene.
Epithalamion by Gerard Manley Hopkins. Hark, hearer, hear what I do. Lend a thought now, make believe we are leaf-whelmed somewhere with the hood of some branchy, bunchy, bushy-bowered wood, southern dean or Lancashire clough or Devon cleave that leans along the loins of hills, where a candy-coloured, where a glue-gold brown marbled river, boisterously beautiful, between roots and rocks is danced and dandled, all in froth and water blowballs down. We are there when we hear a shout, that the hanging honeysuck, the dog-eared hazels in the cover makes dither, makes hover, and the riot of a rout of it must be boys from the town bathing. It is summer's sovereign good. By there comes a listless stranger, beckoned by the noise, he drops towards the river, unseen sees the bevy of them, how the boys with dare and with down dolphinry and bell-bright bodies huddling out are earth-world, air-world, water-world thorough-hurled, all by turn and turn about. This garland of their gambols flashes in his breast into such a sudden zest of summertime joys that he hies to a pool neighbouring, sees it is the best there, sweetest, freshest, shadowiest, fairyland, silk beech, scrolled ash, packed sycamore, wild witch elm, hornbeam, fretty overstood by. Rafts and rafts of flake leaves light, dealt so, painted on the air, hang as still as hawk or hawk moth, as the stars or as the angels there, like the thing that never knew the earth, never off roots rose. Here he feasts, lovely all is. No more, off with, down he dings his bleached both and wool-woven ware. Careless these in coloured wisp all lie tumbled to. Then with loop locks forward falling, forehead frowning, lips crisp over finger-teasing task, his twiny boots fast he opens. Last he off rings, till walk the world he can with bare his feet, and come where lies a coffer, burly all of blocks, built of chance-quarried, self-quained rocks. And the water warbles over into, filleted with glassy, grassy, quicksilvery shives and shoots, and with heaven-fallen freshness down from moorland still brims, dark or daylight, on and on. Here he will then, here he will the fleet, flinty, kind-cold element let break across his limbs long. Where we leave him, frolic-lavish, while he looks about him, laughs, swims. Enough now. Since the sacred matter that I mean, I should be wronging, longer leaving it to float upon this only gambling and echoing of earth note. What is the delightful dean? Wedlock. What the water? Spousal love. Father, mother, brothers, sisters, friends, into fairy trees, wild flowers, wood ferns, ranked round the bower.
I wake and feel the fell of dark. By Gerald Manley Hopkins. I wake and feel the fell of dark, not day. What hours, oh, what black hours we have spent this night. What sights you, heart, saw, ways you went, and more must, in yet longer light's delay with witness I speak this. But where I say hours, I mean years, mean life. And my lament is cries countless, cries like dead letters sent to dearest him that lives, alas, away. I am gall, I am heartburn, God's most deep decree bitter would have me taste. My taste was me. Bones built in me, fresh filled, blood brimmed the curse. Self-yeast of spirit a dull dough sours. I see the lost are like this, and their scourge to be as I am mine, their sweating selves, but worse.
In the Valley of the Elwy by Gerard Manley Hopkins. I remember a house where all were good to me, God knows deserving no such thing. Comforting smell breathed at very entering, fetched fresh, as I suppose, off some sweet wood. That cordial air made those kind people a hood all over, as a bevy of eggs the mothering wing will, or mild nights the new morsels of spring. Why, it seemed, of course, seemed of right it should. Lovely the woods, waters, meadows, coombs, vales, all the air things wear that build this world of Wales. Only the inmate does not correspond. God, lover of souls, swaying considerate scales, complete thy creature dear, oh, where it fails, being mighty a master, being a father and fond.